they came on the scene about a decade ago. That's when Minneapolis-based Pedal Pub brought the concept of party bikes over from Amsterdam. It started with tours of Minneapolis, and then the concept quickly spread to dozens of cities around the country. We're talking pedal taverns on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dan Vock is transportation and infrastructure reporter at the website Governing, which covers state and local government politics, policy, and management. His recent piece there is titled, Pedal Pubs Gain Popularity, Putting Cities on the Spot. Dan, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
So these pedal taverns, they're a pretty common sight on the street in Madison, especially on State Street in the summer. But for those who aren't familiar with this type of thing on wheels, can you explain the concept?
That might be a good description there. They're basically like if you took a table or a bar that, you know, is about, you know, 6 or 7 seats long in on either side and put pedals underneath the seats, that's more or less what you get. So all the people who are riding are pedaling, but they're not the ones driving, which is important because the people who are pedaling are often drinking. And so there's a driver who sort of steers them and you know, takes them there. So it's a novel contraption, and on top of that, some of them even have electric assist devices, you know, like little engines to get you up the hill. All of these are interesting in and of themselves, but also make it a little more difficult for states and local governments to figure out what to do with them. Are they a car? Are they a bike? Are they, you know, something new that needs its own rules? So that's sort of the fascinating part for our readers.
Every time I've seen one, I've always wondered, you know, what if most of the people on board just decide to stop pedaling? I mean, are you basically out of luck?
From my understanding, and I should, you know, full disclosure, I have not actually been on one of these, although, you know, I've learned a lot about them. But my understanding is, yeah, if everybody stops pedaling, they're not going to go very far. There's an electric assist, which is like, you know, electric assist bicycles are becoming a thing now, where, you know, the more you push, the more it helps. So you actually do have to, you know, help out. It doesn't go on its own.
Give us a sense of where this idea came from and how it's spread in recent years in the U.S.
Well, my understanding is, you know, the big vendor, a pedal pub, is kind of the biggest in the country. There are lots of competitors, and I'm sure different people got their ideas from different places, but most of them talk about Amsterdam. And so Amsterdam had these for a long time. They caused all the sorts of, you know, feelings that you're hearing here in the U.S., you know, they're great, they're fun, you know, let's do it for a party. And the neighbors didn't like it too much. And my understanding is they may even have banned them, or they've at least been fighting over them in Amsterdam. However, you know, for, you know, places that are looking for a different way to see the city, you know, just a little bit of a novelty, they've really spread. And spread in places that, you know, aren't... that are fun to go to, but may not be the top of everybody's, you know, vacation list, right? So, I mean, you said they started in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is a great city, but you know, it's a novelty, I think, to see it from that perspective. They're big in Indianapolis, and Nashville is the one that everybody knows because bachelorette parties all pile into them. But they're also used for birthday parties, and you know, all the sort of normal things you would do, but it's kind of just a different view and a different, you know, activity that's, you know, instead of just sitting inside, I guess you can, you know, take a look around the beautiful city, especially during summer.
Well, I learned a new concept or word called experimental tourism, meaning that these offer you a way of not seeing the usual sights in a city.
Yeah, I think the term that they coined was experiential tourism, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of a different, I mean, again, you know, if you're walking down the city, the streets, or if you're driving down, you may be focused on different things. I think being in the street, sort of having, you know, a look at both sides of the Broadway in Nashville, or, you know, wherever it is, State Street in Madison, sort of gives you a different feel. You know, you kind of feel like you're in the city, but you're not, you know, quite, it doesn't feel like you're in a car and sort of walled off. You know, you're actually kind of got the open air feel to it. So yeah, it's definitely a novel concept and one that a lot of people enjoy.
Well, Ted on Facebook writes, "I don't drink, but if I did, I would not want to work this hard for it." So generally, is the idea behind these bikes to be shuttled around from bar to bar, or is it just to drink a lot while pedaling around town? I mean, what's the mission here?
You know, that's a good question, because I think different people will come up with different answers. I think, to be honest, it's probably not the most efficient way to drink, and it is BYOB for most of these. Some of them actually prohibit drinking, although Wisconsin, I don't know, 2013 or 14, allowed to open carry and whatever else. So that sort of at least gives you the same sort of ground rules. But yeah, I mean, I think the idea is mostly about the novelty. And yes, you have a beer, and that's part of the novelty. Like, you're not going to usually have, you know, a beer open while you're, you know, cycling down State Street. I would highly recommend against it. But, you know, I think there is sort of, you know, something that you say you can say you did. You know, again, you might be calling attention to yourself. That's, I think, a good reason why, especially bachelorette parties, but you've also seen bachelor parties, you know, kind of like, hey, you know, we're doing this thing and we're kind of being, drawing attention to ourselves anyway, or, you know, a big birthday party, a 40th or 50th birthday, to sort of, you know, you're not doing this to, you know, kind of, you know, have a polite conversation with your best friend. You're it's part of, you know, it's almost like tailgating on display.
Well, Libby posted on the Ideas Network Facebook page saying, "You work hard to make a lovely garden in a historic home. You intentionally invested in standing in a quiet neighborhood away from beer halls, away from bar fights, and then one follows you home and drives up and down very slowly around your block." Libby says, "Ban them." So are they loud, or what is, are they intentionally trying to get people to be loud on these?
I mean, again, my understanding, and I haven't, unfortunately, had the experience myself, but the noise complaints are common. That there are a lot of, and cities have taken this seriously. They, you know, a number of them have tried to, you know, to come up with a fixed route that takes them away from residential neighborhoods. There's, depending on the city, they have more flexibility or not. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that there's legitimate concerns about noise. You know, if you get 12 or 15 people drinking, or even in a party where you're not drinking, you know, and you're out on the street, I don't think it's going to be quiet. So I think those are legit concerns.
Dan Vock is with us, a transportation and infrastructure reporter at the website Governing, which covers state and local government politics, policy, and management. We're talking about these pedal taverns that are moving into cities and towns all over the country. Getting your reaction, 800-642-1234. How do you feel about pedal taverns and party bikes? Would you welcome them operating in your city or town? If you've been on one, what was the experience like? Would you do it again? And how do these companies need to be regulated? You can call in, you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dan, the largest operator of these bikes is a company called Pedal Pub. You talked with the company's chief development officer in your recent story. What did he tell you about the company's growth and expansion plans?
Well, I had been impressed. I guess I hadn't realized how widespread these are. They're really widespread in Wisconsin. He said that they recently got venture capital funding, and I don't know the amount, but over last summer. And so they're going to, you know, try to expand even more aggressively this year with more marketing, advertising, and franchising. And they're, I mean, they... they're sort of selling their experience that they've been in. I think it's close to 50 cities now, and those are all sizes. I mean, real small towns, college towns, you know, cities like Minneapolis and Indianapolis. But that they're going to try to sort of sell their experience to new would-be franchisees. So, like, they can say, well, you know, we have worked with cities in these other places. We know sort of the issues that will come up. We can negotiate something, you know, reasonable that will help you start your business. They also sell the bikes.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of different models of bikes, but this particular one that they use, which they have a barrel in front. So if you've seen one of these that has a barrel in front, it's not full of beer, but it is kind of a trademark sort of, you know, distinction for them. They import those from I believe Amsterdam, and so they're the only ones that bring it in. So they sell the bike, they sell the business model, and it sounds like they're going to be pushing even farther. I think I live in Washington D.C., and I think they have some interest in coming out here, and I'm not sure exactly where, but it is it just keeps growing.
Well, it's interesting, Dan, too. They've really staked their claim around their name, and there's also been some litigation over what to call these, whether you can call them pedal taverns, whether you can say pedal pub. So what do we know about the naming and who is able to say what in terms of names?
Well, I didn't get quite into that, although even in my story, that was an issue, right?
Now,
so I sort of settled on party bikes. In Amsterdam, they're called beer bikes. I think what you'll find is that there's sort of this push and pull where the operators want to be known as, you know, a place where you can drink beer, but not sort of corner themselves into being bars. So that, you know, there's a lot of playful names with them. I sort of settled on party bikes just because I thought it was pretty neutral, but pedal pubs, pedal taverns, you know, you name it. There's about 15 different names that I came across for them, so clearly no one's established the go-to term.
Well, Brandy on Facebook writes, I think they're fun, and there was another commentator who said if she's been on a pedal pub, she said yes many times, so don't knock it unless you try it. But Steve writes on Facebook and says, I saw one in Madison. They're a distraction to drivers, tend to clog the streets, and Stephen posted that they slow traffic. Is that a concern, that they're distracting?
Yes, it's definitely a concern, and I think it depends on, you know, people come to transportation. This is something that sort of goes throughout a lot of my reporting. People come with different expectations of what their roads are for and what their streets are for. So State Street, you know, is a main thoroughfare, but it's also, you know, a sort of downtown walkable, you know, like it's not somewhere you're going to go fast. So the question is how out of character would something like this be? I think there's a pretty good consensus that you don't usually want these in, like, on a highway, you know, where people are going like 40, 45 miles an hour, you know, that kind of deal. But where you get into sort of the conflict, and this is true of just about any form of transportation, it's sort of these, you know, downtown areas where traffic doesn't go very fast. A lot of different users stake their claim, whether they're bikes or walkers or, you know, people driving. So I have heard in Naperville, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, one of the reasons they did ban them was because they were distractions and again, as one of your commenter mentioned, also slowed down traffic, and they felt like traffic was already slow enough. They didn't need this on top of it. But I think other places are willing to make the trade-off because they figure that you want a walkable neighborhood, you know, a tourist sort of, you know, area where, or not even tourists, but just sort of a place where people can slow down, shop, maybe, you know, get a beer or something to eat. And so that's a different sort of character to the neighborhood. So I think a lot of it comes with people's expectations for what they expect in these sort of downtown business districts.
Journalist Dan Vock writes, pedal taverns have been entertaining tourists and vexing regulators in American cities for a decade now, but there's still enough of a novelty that state and city lawmakers continue to struggle with whether to allow them, and if so, What rules should they play by? Dan Vox stays with us. He's a transportation and infrastructure reporter at the website Governing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about pedal taverns? Would you welcome them operating in your city or town? And if you've been on one, what was the experience like? Was it memorable? Would you do it again? Do you see an entrepreneurial opportunity in your town? Call in. You can email ideas at WPR.org, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. A lot of activity there. We'll pick up the conversation on pedal taverns in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Communities across the country are trying to figure out how to handle party bikes. And now there's a court case in Nashville where two operators are grappling with naming rights. We're talking about how cities like Milwaukee and Appleton are handling these four-wheeled contraptions here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this month, a federal lawsuit argued that they should officially be known as four-wheeled party bicycles. Nashville Pedal Tavern trademarked the phrase Pedal Tavern and Nashville Pedal Tavern, and therefore no other company should be able to promote similar services using such terms. That's what the lawsuit states. Dan Vock is watching all this as a staff writer for Governing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think these companies should be regulated? What questions do you have about pedal taverns or whatever language you want to use around them? You can call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Diane posted on Facebook, says, "This looks like a skull injury in the making." Let's talk a little bit about safety. These things don't have backs to them, so it's an open back. If you lean back, you could easily fall off. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. They also, they don't go very fast. So it's not, like going down your bicycle down, 20, 25 miles an hour. They think they go, 4 to 8 miles an hour. So, yes, it is definitely a risk, but it's not, the same as you might expect with, a typical bicycle.
No one's wearing a helmet here. Let's go to Anne joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Anne.
Hello. Well, this just sounds like another device to encourage more drinking. I think we have enough drinking in this state. I don't understand why we're encouraging more.
Anne, thanks for the call. Also, Jim piggybacked on this as well. Jim near Krivitz, who said he talked to police in Madison who are monitoring partygoers this weekend. He said officers told him people can't have open containers in public areas. Jim says it doesn't seem to make sense to ban drinking on the sidewalk if you let people drink on a party bike. So, Dan, is all of this still trying to be shaken out?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, what's, again, fascinating for us. We look at states and local governments, and they've all sort of come up with their own, their own response to it. Many states have allowed open exceptions to open container laws in order to allow them to drink, and sometimes cities can trump them and sometimes they can't, or restrict how many beers they can bring on. So that's sort of the issue that they're wrestling with.
And there's also the question of what a pedal tavern is. Is it a bike? Is it a cab? Is it something else? How have cities classified these?
Excuse me, I just got...
That's okay.
Yeah. that has been an issue, and I think most of them have sort of gotten their own special designations because they're not exactly a bike. They're way too big, and nobody contemplated these when they were coming up with regulations for a bike, but they also didn't contemplate something like this when they came up with the regulation for cars. So, most of them don't have, license plates, although there may be a few exceptions, depending on the state. But it all a lot of it depends on, you know, how they're powered and, you know, whether they're allowed on the main streets. So it's definitely been a weird – we're coming up with a lot of these. I don't know if you're familiar with the Jump electric bikes, the dockless bikes here that Uber is trying to spread. You know, that's another one where, you know, it is a bike, but it's powered, and, you know, there's been a pretty national move to try to get e-bikes treated more like bikes than motorcycles. So you're seeing a lot of the sort of gray area come out lately with the sort of innovations in transportation, and it's consuming a lot of, you know, energy and time from regulators and elected officials.
Well, let's get thoughts from Floyd joining us from Marquette, Michigan. Hi, Floyd.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm just curious about the difference between a car and a bike. If you can't have an open bottle of alcohol in your car, why can you have it on your bike?
Floyd, thank you. So Floyd's seeing the similarity to this as, you know, bikes in cars where you cannot have open carry.
I think, and this might be my interpretation of what I've seen, and you know, there may be different theories, but I think the idea is that because of how it's arranged, the driver really doesn't have access to, they're not closed off, but they're sort of separated from the alcohol, and again, that can be true in cars as well, although I think people are a little skeptical that, you know, the passenger is going to be, you know, having the open container, but the driver is going to be, you know, sober and not, you know, touching it at all. But you've seen that actually play out in this is probably historically, but with states that tried to figure out, you know, how many open containers can you have versus passengers, that kind of deal. But in these party bikes, the general idea is that the driver isn't drinking. And that might be the exception.
Well, going back to the point you brought up earlier with Naperville, Illinois, saying, no, we're not going down this road, so to speak, can you explain what other cities have justified for saying no, like what Naperville is doing?
I think, you know, it's usually pretty similar. It's the idea that, one other thing that came up in Naperville was they're talking about, you know, trying to be a kid-friendly environment. And there are a lot of bars in downtown Naperville, so I don't, you know, I mean, it is, it, but they are generally, you know, sort of a more suburban, you know, kind of place, and there's a lot of families there. And so there is this idea that, we don't want to encourage drinking. We don't want to do that. And in Naperville, one thing that happened was that the first step that one of the operators took was to, like, go straight to the, you know, get the exception for, you know, open containers in Naperville. And that sort of threw the city council off, and they're like, well, you know, this is all about drinking. That's not what we want. So I think there is that legitimate concern, and obviously your listeners have the same concern. So I think is usually one of the biggest things. There are other hang-ups that have to do with, is there a viable place? You know, where is this going to go? You know, is it an appropriate roadway? I think the article also talked about a beach town called Carolina Beach, and their problem is, you know, if you just had it along the beach, then that's fine, but, you know, you got to go somewhere, and the strip wasn't that long, and so they're trying to get it off the main highway, but it being on an island, there's pretty much one way in and out of, you know, the downtown, so that they're wrestling with how to come up with routes for that. There are lots of reasons, but I think generally, I mean, what you're getting a sense of from your listeners, there's also sort of the sort of push and pull there. Do we want drunk people? Do we want, you know, congestion? Do we want, you know, noise? Is this an appropriate, does this match the character of the neighborhood where we're going to put it?
But is Naperville an outlier? Have we seen a number of other communities saying no to these, or is Naperville and perhaps a coastal community, they're the only ones right now?
I think that they're not an outlier, but I think that you've seen, from my, you know, cursory sort of look at, there's dozens of cities that are trying this. But I think mostly that the party bikes have sort of made their way, and whether that's with concessions like either a limit on the amount of drinks they bring, or even not allowing alcohol in some places, or, you know, just in certain place, you know, certain areas of the city and along a certain route, and they're well regulated. So I think it depends. I think that there are other cities like Naperville that have done this, but I don't think I think overall cities have tried to accommodate new businesses and tried to, you know, figure out what are they could actually allow it. Sometimes it means going to the state legislature. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of it is that, you know, you've got, you know, an entrepreneur, someone who wants to build a business, and they will put some resources behind, you know, trying to make it right. And maybe the opposition isn't always organized. I think the opposition may and sometimes crop up after the fact, which is another sort of, which is somewhat problematic if you're having a business that, you know, starts up and puts an investment in and then comes back and people want to rein it in. But I think there's been, I've been surprised by how many communities have allowed this and have pretty much let them go, you know, in their original business model.
We're having a conversation about pedal taverns here on the morning show. Dan Vock is here. He's been writing about them as a staff writer covering transportation for the site Governing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see the need for regulation? Are we overthinking this? What are the pros and cons of party bikes? Have you been on one? What was that like? Call in. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to Pedal Pub here for a moment. You write that one way it is trying to distinguish itself from its smaller competitors is by highlighting its experiences working with government officials to clear the way for its party bikes to operate. So clearly there are governmental relations issues. There are PR issues. Logistically, how is this playing out?
Well, I think one of the things that they will say is that or that they at least told me, is they're trying to build a business case that isn't only focused on alcohol, so that, you know, that you can see something, that you can, you know, get sort of local businesses that might, you know, want to partner with them, you know, get them sort of on board and excited about whether the restaurants or bars or, you know, tourist destinations or something to sort of, you know, extend the experience and make the neighborhood more attractive to visitors. You know, that's one thing that I think that this company is trying to do before they even start going to, you know, get the city council approval, sort of get the sort of buy-in from, you know, some people locally. It sort of depends on where the city is and how much power they've been given by the state, but they almost always have to go to the city and sometimes also the state.
Let's go to Steve now, joining us from Montreal. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. This is Steve from beautiful and still snowy city of Montreal.
Nice. Thank you for the scene setting.
Anybody that knows me knows I will always have a beer around, usually a good Wisconsin beer. But, folks, this is stupid beyond belief. We have enough problems with alcohol distribution, be it party bikes, two-wheeled or four, here in the city of Montreal, in our Guile business section, which is probably 200 people in Guile, there are three outlets for beer. So you reach out your arm, you can get a beer. Hurley has a well-earned reputation, now very quiet and sedate, There are 54 outlets for beer, outlets of one type. Reach out. You can get you a cold one.
This is
beyond belief.
You wouldn't go on one, I venture to.
Absolutely not. I get scared going out on Friday nights to drive my car.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for the call. Milwaukee Pedal Tavern was launched in 2009, and over the course of 8 years or so, a number of other communities have had to figure out how to classify these bicycle-powered party-on-wheels things popping up in larger communities. Especially we're seeing them in college towns. We're having a conversation about pedal taverns here on The Morning Show. Dan Vock has been writing about them as a staff writer covering transportation and infrastructure for the site Governing. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see the need for regulation? Are we overthinking this? What are the pros and cons of party bikes? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. When we come back, we'll talk with an owner of one in Appleton. We'll return to the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Complaints are that pedal taverns are noisy, that they're obnoxious, they're litterers, they're poor tippers, the list goes on. The supportive say they're a new experimental tourism, that they offer a way to see your city in a brand new way, off the beaten track, off of the regular tourist attractions. And we're talking about them here on The Morning Show as Dan Vock stays with us as he is a staff writer for the site Governing. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about them? Have you been on one? What was the experience like? What do you want your town to do about them? How do you want them to be regulated? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring in Jan now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. This is Jan, and our son had one in Oslo, Norway. And yes, I've ridden it. It was like a Surrey with a fringe on top, if you know what I mean. And it wasn't open all the way around. It was so much fun, you just can't believe it. But there was no beer on it. It was for people who were having a good time and wanted to ride around and go from place to place, and it was fun. But I can't imagine having beer on the vehicle itself. He took on the persona of a British person. He had fun with it, complete with top hat and a white shirt from a tuxedo and the black pedal bicycle pants. He really had a good time with it.
Jan, you got to see the sights of Oslo from this type of bike, but with no booze involved. But you were really seeing what was around you.
Oh, yes, indeed. And people who had been drinking, of course, they could get on and have a good time, but certainly not have the beer on the bus. I can't agree with that. It was fun without the beer on the vehicle itself.
Jan, thank you so much for calling in. Now, let's bring in Chris Burns now. He's co-owner of the Social Station in Appleton, which offers a party bike experience and tours of the city. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about why you wanted to bring this business to Appleton.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you asked the question. So I think it's a pretty interesting story, but I recall about 2.5 years ago, sitting at a chamber event, and I remember city officials talking about how the city of Appleton and nearby communities like Green Bay were losing millennials to larger communities. So not just Milwaukee or Madison or even the Twin Cities, but Nashville. They're going to other cities where there's more amenities. So a light bulb went off in my head. I started to think. I'm like, you know, what is it? At the time, I 36 years old. I was in my early mid-30s, and I thought, Appleton's a great place to live. I'm born and raised here, so I'm biased, but I started thinking, well, there's not very much along the lines of usage of waterways. There's no kayak tours, there's no Segway tours, there's no pedal pug tours. There's just not a lot going on in that realm. And there's other things millennials are looking for. But I thought, there should be more to do. There could be more to do in Appleton. I also had a good friend who serendipitously was starting a pedal pug business in Detroit. And he later became kind of the inspiration. But I said to my wife, I'm like, I want to bring something to the city of Appleton that's fun, that brings in people from nearby communities. And kind of through some motivation from my friend in Detroit, and through this idea, I said, we got to do something to make Appleton more fun.
So
and,
you saw an entrepreneurial opening here. How did policymakers in Appleton initially respond to your idea?
Well, I think initially they didn't think it was plausible because people think pedal pub, well, they got to be drinking and they want a liquor license. And I think initially it was no, but someone had came to the city about 4 years before me and asked to do this, but they wanted a liquor license, and the city said no. I did not come in asking for a liquor license. I just said, hey, I've got this business. We're going to do tours. Not a pedal pub. It looks like one, but we're going to cater to all demographics. We're going to do coffee and scenic tours. We're going to do history tours, which we do now. We're going to do exercise expeditions. And the pub crawls will be a part of it, yes, but we want to make sure that we are kid-friendly, family-friendly, and people who don't want to drink, they can still join us for a non-alcoholic tour. And so initially when they heard that, they said, you know what, this is a great idea. We can definitely get on board with this. And I did tell them, I said, in full disclosure, I will be coming back in the future to be asking for some type of a BYOB policy, but it was an idea that I thought they could get behind because Appleton does have a lot to offer. There's a lot to see here.
So passengers at the beginning were not allowed to bring their own drinks on the bike, but the Appleton's Common Council eliminated the no alcohol policy, and now customers can bring drinks on board. What does that mean for you and your business?
Well, it's tremendous. It means a couple of things. First, it means that I think we did a pretty good job in year one. The city officials bought in. There was a lot of demand for that from the community. But since then, since that was issued in January, we've seen 100% increase in bookings, a lot more interest, a lot more buzz. And it truly is bringing people in from nearby communities. And that's something we're very proud of, that people are coming from Oshkosh and Armco and Depere to come and do something fun in downtown Appleton.
Oh, yeah, there are a couple ways to think about that buzz. So 100% increase in your business when you change to BYOB.
Yeah.
So who is your typical customer right now?
Well, believe it or not, and my wife was joking when I told her this, but about 90% of our bookings are women. Now, women tend to be the party planners, maybe not so much with the men. But it's a really good mix of folks from 30s all the way up to 60s. A lot of people who I tell this to think that it's a lot of 20-somethings and 30-somethings that are doing pub crawls and bar crawls, but it's a really good mix of corporate team-building events. That makes up about a third of our business. And we get a lot of Sunday fun days, family reunions, birthday parties, things like that.
Let's bring in Tom joining us from Milwaukee with thoughts. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. I am calling from downtown Milwaukee here as we speak. And in Milwaukee, we have Stenny's, a pedal tavern, which I'm a sort of a part-time Uber driver on the side. So I've gotten very good at dodging these pedal taverns. And during the summer months, it's just a hoot to watch. You'll have bridal parties out there. Just all kinds of people just having a good time. And I don't see it as a problem whatsoever. I think it's just a fun thing to watch. But what I do have a problem with is our streetcar that they're putting in downtown Milwaukee right now. That is going to create major gridlock. And so the pedal taverns, not a problem. Streetcar, big problem.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for bringing your perspective. But I have to say, Chris, Tom has been in the minority over the course of this hour. A lot of people critical of these party bike experiences. What would you say to change their minds?
Well, I just want to say my experience, and then I'll try to convince people to think otherwise, is that in year one, when we operated, granted it was only about 6 months, we didn't have one complaint through the police department with the city of Appleton. We had no issues with people cutting us off or giving us the middle finger. I would say that as much as people might have been a little annoyed that we only go about 6 miles an hour, people are very easy to go around us. You can see us from a very long distance because our bike stands about 9 feet tall. It's very well illuminated. And because of the city of Appleton, probably not as congested as Milwaukee, I don't think we pose as much of a traffic issue. But I would say that if you're unsure about that and you're thinking, hey, these things are really annoying, I would just say, hey, we'd like to share the streets with you drivers as much as the bicyclists and the walkers and anyone else would. And we're only on the road for about 15 minutes to maybe 18 minutes max in between stops. So when we're on the road, it's not like we're going 2 hours straight. We're driving down a long road where we're holding up traffic. We do use a lot of side streets. So we try to be very conscious of staying out of people's ways as much as we can.
I've always been curious about these in that they don't have seat backs. Why don't they have seat backs?
Well, that's a good question. I would encourage anyone in the business to do that. We have seat backs, padded seats. They're much larger than your standard bicycle seat. All of our seats are adjustable. They have seat belts. And whenever people on our tours are drinking, we do make it mandatory that seat belts be required. Safety is one of our top priorities, and we don't want anybody getting hurt. So I would say if a business does not have a seat back, that would, to me, would be a big liability issue.
And how late at night do you run them?
Well, state law says that we have to be off the road by 10:30 p.m., and I have no problem with that. We all know not much good happens after midnight, so I think for us that it's a really good time to operate.
Well, how is, as we start to wrap up here, how is business looking for you this summer?
It's looking really good. We've had people who have booked out as far as a year in advance, starting last fall. And then since the news broke in January about the BYOB, we've had people book out as far as October. So I would say things are booking up fast, particularly the Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Chris Burns is co-owner of the Social Station in Appleton, which offers a party bike experience and tours of the city. Now let's bring back Dan Vaak into the conversation. He's covering transportation and infrastructure for the website Governing, gathering your insights as well about pedal taverns, 800-642-1234. At this point in the conversation, has your thinking evolved in any way about pedal taverns and party bikes? How so? Are you on board with them in your town or not? You can call in, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dan, what struck you there about Chris Burns in that conversation?
Well, I think the point he made about, having other sort of venues besides the bar crawl is probably one of the things that the owners have been trying to get out about these. I mean, obviously, with names like, Pedal Pub or, Pedal Tavern, it's hard to sort of get that message out. But I think, depending on the city and the situation, there are a lot of different ways that these have been used, and it's just interesting to hear, from his perspective how, the different types of activities that they've been used for. That's what was striking to me.
Well, it's fair to say that these pedal taverns are quite polarizing. We've heard from people who are staunchly opposed, but there are also people who say, guys, these are really fun. So are they going to continue to be polarizing for a while here until we figure out more how cities want to regulate them?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say that they'll be polarizing for a while, but I also think that almost any new mode of transportation that we're looking at, or even old ones, I mean, bikes can be really polarizing. I live in Washington, D.C. Every time there's a new bike lane, there's a huge uproar, and that's true in a lot of cities. So I don't think it's necessarily out of the ordinary for a new mode of transportation to sort of take people aback. I think people like the conventions that they're used to, and sometimes those are good conventions, and sometimes they could use some changing. But anyway, I think that pedal taverns will be polarizing as long as they're around. There's just people have different expectations of how their city streets ought to be used and how much sort of give and take the different types of users of streets ought to be given. So. I only expect to hear more of what you're hearing as they expand.
Is this a sustainable business model, or do you see this more like a trend in cities that will come and go?
It's a really great question. Unlike some of the other modes of transportation, I did mention there's some venture capital behind this, but I don't get the sense that, venture capital is backing the, Social Station in Appleton, and that, it could be wrong, but, it might be backing the sort of producers. But, even Uber or, some of these dockless bike shares are all backed by venture capital, so we don't actually know if it's a sustainable business model. But it sounds like this one, at least, is sustainable enough that they keep expanding, which is, a sense that it gives you a sense that they are making money. There's very little overhead, from my understanding. So, other than the bike and the people, there's not a ton of equipment that you need. So I think you're going to see more of it. I think they're sustainable enough that they'll keep going until people lose interest.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, Dan, what are you watching for as this plays out in communities across the country? What are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I'm just curious. To me, what's interesting is how different localities respond differently. So, in a smaller city, you might have a little bit more latitude because there's not as much traffic. On the other hand, there might be there's different considerations about what their city means. In the big city, you may not be so offended by seeing something new because you see lots of different crazy things every day in a big city. But on the other hand, it might be more dangerous to be going around city buses and that kind of deal. So that's the thing that I always like to look at, is just sort of how each mostly city, but also states, respond to this and say, this is how it's right for our neighborhood.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Dan Vaak is transportation and infrastructure reporter at the website Governing, which covers state and local government politics, policy, and management. His recent piece there is titled "Pedal Pubs Gain Popularity, Putting Cities on the Spot." We also heard from Chris Burns, who is co-owner of the Social Station in Appleton. This hour, The Morning Show was produced by Chris Molina and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.